You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. We're talking football on the program today. Steve Merrill will step up and in and join us. We're going to run the gauntlet. We'll talk some college football with Steve. We'll talk some NFL football with Steve. We'll talk some NFL football with Ricky Sanders, DFS style, as Ricky continues to light it up on the hardwood and on the gridiron from a DFS perspective. We'll find out who Ricky Sanders likes this weekend. I've got a DraftKings lineup for you that came together rather easily this week. I don't know, man. I put hours into the other lineups that have sucked. Every week's the same damn thing, man. We got five or six great picks, and we have one or two horrible plays that cost us. I'm not expecting anything different this week. So, you know, cherry pick a couple of the players that we've got in the lineup. But we've got a nice lineup, actually. We've got a nice lineup. So, yeah, the college football bowl season is in full swing. Hopefully, the games start to get better. The good bowls should start to kick in right around Christmas, a little bit after Christmas. NFL football, these games count this week. We're breaking down the NFL. We'll have a ton of picks for you on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page. Morenci's best bets of the week. I love a ton of underdogs this week, actually, in the National Football League. So we'll get to that. Morenci Unfiltered tonight with Babano and Cam Stewart. That video will be up on YouTube as well. We ran through pretty much every National Football League game. We're going to be kind of college football heavy from a betting perspective on the show today. And we'll talk a lot of NFL DFS on the show today. But let's get started and pay tribute to one of the greatest announcers and television broadcasters and play-by-play men of all time, and that is Dick Enberg. I salute Dick Enberg. May you rest in peace. 82 years old, Dick Enberg passes away. Truly one of the great broadcasters. Truly one of the great broadcasters of all time. Never really got the mainstream credit, I think. You know, Vin Scully kind of hogged a lot of the oxygen in the room. You know, but Dick Enberg wasn't a flashy guy. He wasn't a controversial guy. He was just a guy that made you feel at ease. You know, the term comfort food. That's like Dick Enberg. And me growing up, Dick Enberg used to do, you know, Super Bowls and big games. And, you know, it's just he did such a great job. And it's amazing to me when I look at, you know, you look at broadcasting and it's come a long way with the graphics and the camera angles, etc. But for the most part, sports broadcasting really hasn't changed all that much. The thing that's changed the most has been the players. Now, the players are more athletic, they're faster, they're stronger than they've ever been before. The announcers of today are nowhere near as good as the dudes of yesteryear. They're just not. They're all generic clones from Syracuse. Every jackass new school announcer that's on ESPN went to Syracuse. They all sound the same. You know, Brent Musker didn't go to Syracuse. Brent Musker's living in Vegas right now betting on games. Dick Enberg, just, you know, pure class. How about Charlie Jones? Remember Charlie Jones, man, doing games with Merlin Olsen and company. Don Crickey, Pat Summerall. Pat Summerall, man, he had the best call ever. Listen, Gus Johnson's all right. You know, but Gus Johnson, you tell Gus Johnson just waiting to yell. It's sort of scripted. It's the shtick. Pat Summerall used to drink in the booth. Didn't tell anyone, but he was an alcoholic. Everyone knew. You knew he was drunk. So, you know, he was very, spoke like slow and deliberately so he wouldn't stutter his speech. And he admitted that, yeah, I drank in the booth for every game I did, essentially, up there with John Madden. So he used to have a little flask, but his calls were so succinct. Massive game. Touchdown, Cowboys. That was it. Was it? Touchdown. Just the way he said it. Touchdown, Cowboys. And then he would just kick back, and you know, you'd let the game. Dick Enberg and these guys understand that. These new dudes are horrible, man. Not all of them. I know everyone hates Joe Buck. Joe Buck is actually the best one of the new dudes. Jim Nantz is all right, but Nantz is just so freaking bland, man. Like, bland. Ooh. He's like blander than like plain yogurt. You know, that's Jim Nantz. But, you know, I find it hard to watch games, actually, nowadays. you know, with all the crappy refereeing and everything that goes on, but college football specifically, because there's so many games that you have a lot of really, really bad broadcasters. And like I said, they all went to Syracuse. It's like an internship factory for ESPN. If you want to be a play-by-play guy, go to Syracuse, and then ESPN will hire you. But I'll tell you something. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, I could do better. I've done play-by-play before. I did play-by-play for football before. I've done play-by-play. I did color for basketball. I did a Major League Baseball game, Montreal Expos and the New York Mets before. And it's not easy. And it's easier to sit here and complain about these guys than it is to actually do it. I'll put it that way. It's very hard to be a good play-by-play guy and have a flow. It's a lost art, though, and it's an art that evidently nobody has a skill of anymore. Rest in peace, Dick Enberg. You are, like Bret Hart, you know, the best there was, the best there will be, the best there ever will be. You're in that category, Dick. Rest in peace. Game time decision continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gable Morency. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, CoversExperts.com. Steve, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us on the program this evening.
Thanks, Gabe. Happy Festivus.
I've got a lot of problems with a lot of people, Steve.
Feats of strength.
Yeah.
How you solve them. That's how you solve those problems.
I can't have anyone, fight for the pole,
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the material? Was it titanium or?
Yeah, titanium pole. I like the he found the decorations on Christmas trees to be distracting. I should have a Festivus. I'll put a bulletin up in my condo. You know, attention all angry single residents. Festivus in unit 810.
The problem is that show's been off for almost 20 years now, and that episode I would assume was over 20 years ago. It was probably like in the middle of the run, you know, in the mid-90s, which means anybody who's in their early 20s was like less than 4 or 5 years old at the time. So most of those single people probably don't even know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. Time goes by fast, man. It feels like just yesterday. All right, so it feels like just yesterday that the bowl season started as well. And, you know, to be expected, the early bowls are kind of crap. And, you know, we warn people, don't go big on them. And I practice what I preach for the most part, but I've been getting sloppier as the bowls have been going on with bigger units. And it can be a problem. I mean, you know, oftentimes, Steve, you bet a UFC fight, you sort of know right away. You know what I mean? Like, you can tell, oh, boy, I'm in trouble here. You know, when your fighter's eating jabs, and you just realize, like, I didn't pick the right guy here. You know, and these bowl games, very, very similar. Like, how many of these bowl games have we seen? The Marshall-Colorado State game came down to the wire. But for the most part, there are a lot of blowouts, Steve, in bowl games. One team shows up, the other one doesn't. That seems to be a big pattern here.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something we don't talk about a lot, but, you know, in general, college football teasers aren't as good of a play as the NFL, and the reason
exactly.
is because the lines aren't as sharp. And we talk about that in the NFL preseason. It's the same thing now with the bowl games. These lines aren't as accurate. And a perfect example is if you look at the money lines, a 7-point favorite, you know, like we have in a lot of these games, the money line for a 7-point favorite in a college bowl game is not as high as it would be in a regular season game and not nearly as high as it would be for an NFL 7-point favorite. Because, yeah, these dogs win straight up a lot of times, or they get blown out on the other side. So be very careful if you're doing teasers. They don't work nearly as well in the bowl games for the reasons you just mentioned.
No, you're exactly right. And I don't mind teasers in a National Football League because the lines are sharp.
Correct.
You know, but college, they're one-sided, exactly. And we have teams playing against each other that haven't played against each other. Even the odds makers don't really know how these teams are going to show up, which team is happy to be there, which team is, you know. You know, it looks like UAB are on a vacation, and they hung out in the Bahamas, and now they're just playing a football game before they go home. And Ohio, you know, looked like a business trip in the Bahamas Bowl. And then you get the variables like the game the other night with the FIU quarterback getting hurt on the first series of the game. FIU were fired up. They wanted to play. Their quarterback got hurt. They couldn't score a touchdown after that.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting about that Ohio-UAB game that kicked off early Friday afternoon is that Ohio lost back-to-back as road favorites of almost a touchdown or more in their final two regular season games. So they had about the worst current form of anybody entering a bowl game.
Yeah, and
so
Frank Solich is 2-6 in bowl games.
Right, but it just shows why you have to be so careful to look at regular season results or statistics or anything, because you almost can take a contrarian view. UAB finished fairly well, but they played an unbelievably weak schedule. They played the weakest schedule of any bowl team, by the way, as they just moved up, you know, to the FBS level again here recently.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of interesting intangibles in that early game, even though it was a game probably a lot of people didn't play.
That's a good point that you raised there. And in fact, I brought that up to somebody, and you just said it more eloquently than I did, but I said the same thing in which somebody was crunching the numbers. This team gives up this much on the ground, and this team does this. And I basically said, guys, we got to throw out the stats, man. You come into these bowl games, you know, some of the coaches are gone. Some of the assistant coaches are gone. It's just different. It's not a regular season game. You know, some coaches care more than others. You almost have to look at the situation and the enthusiasm factor, et cetera, coming into these games. But a very good point that you raised as far as UAB's schedule is concerned. So a game that I do like, let's talk about the Birmingham Bowl. This is Saturday afternoon at noon Eastern. South Florida Bulls and Texas Tech. You know, it was 2.5. It's up to 3 right now. I think the right team is favored here. I'm not a big believer in Texas Tech and this football team, Steve. And I think South Florida is going to want to get to 10 wins, put a show on. They were a good football team. They just weren't better than Central Florida this year, but they still had a good year. Quentin Flowers is a monster at the quarterback position. I like South Florida in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument, you know, had they not had the coaching change, this could be a little bit of a letdown because they had the star quarterback coming back, had a great season last year. But the fact that they have a first-year coach, you know, strong, I think they're probably excited about a 9-2 season, that chance to get 10 wins. Meanwhile, Texas Tech, a lackluster 6-6 year. They had to win their final game against Texas to get in. They did so as a 7-point dog. So if they don't pull the upset as a 7.5-point dog against their rival to win the season finale, they don't even get to a bowl game. You kind of feel like that was the bigger game for them. And now they're rewarded with a noon kickoff in the Birmingham Bowl. So I think there's could be an argument made that if one team comes out a little flat, it's probably more likely to be Texas Tech in this one.
As you stated, getting that win against getting the win against the Texas Longhorns was big right there. And it's interesting because Texas Tech put 34 points up per game. They give up 31. South Florida put up a whopping 38 points per game. They're giving up 22 points per game. Yet, you know, when you look at the totals, South Florida were 4-7 to the under. Texas Tech were 4-8 to the under because of all the inflated numbers. This one's sitting at 65.5. Totals are tough in bowl games because oftentimes one team doesn't show up. And it's hard to get to a big total if only one team scores. What do you make of the over of this game? Because technically there should be points. Like, if this is a regular season game and it's 4 weeks ago, they probably combined for 90 points. Now, tomorrow, I don't know.
Yeah, South Florida's road games averaged over 73 points combined. Texas Tech's road games averaged over 67 points combined. Yet, if you look at the matchups, when you factor in opponents played, both defenses actually hold a slight edge, believe it or not, at least based on my ratings. Now, that doesn't always translate, as you said, to bowl games. The one concern I have with South Florida here, though, is they played a much, much weaker schedule than Texas Tech. So you have to be careful with those offensive and defensive numbers because Texas Tech played a substantially harder schedule.
Yeah. Okay, so who are you leading with in this game?
Well, I think the motivation favors South Florida, and I think that's why we've seen the line go from 2.5 to 3. It just concerns me, you know, their schedule is so weak. It does. When you look at the numbers, though, both defenses actually hold the matchup edge, but it's hard to pull the trigger with an under in a minor bowl game, especially, like as I just said, that both these teams put up almost 70 in their road games.
We got San Diego State and Army, two similar teams kind of. San Diego State like to run the football and play smash mouth football. Obviously, that's what Army does as well. Army 9-3 on the year. San Diego State, an impressive 10-2, 8-4 against the spread. San Diego State clearly have the better defense, and Long has always done a nice job against the option in his career as well. I kind of wonder about Army coming into this football game and where their motivation is coming from. Maybe a little for San Diego State as well, but Army coming off that win against Navy, back-to-back wins against Navy, and winning a Commander-in-Chief trophy for the first time since 1996. That's what their season's all about. So I sort of think that this is just sort of another game that they happen to be playing you know, coming off of that Navy Commander-in-Chief game. You know, what's your take on this game?
Yeah, it's interesting. I did my ESPN Richmond segment yesterday in Virginia, and we talked about the Navy-Virginia game for next week, and it's a very similar setup there as well. I said, you know, you have to worry about Navy's mindset after that hard-fought loss against Army. It was a big revenge game for them, and they missed the field goal at the, you know, the final play. Same thing for Army here. But one thing I also mentioned about the Navy-Virginia game, it's the same thing here, is historically military teams have been money in the bank in the bowl games. So they've been a long-term, you know, 60% play against the spread. A couple reasons that works. First of all, they don't get distracted. They're disciplined, you know, so they travel well. They don't get distracted by all the bowl things like a lot of these younger 19- and 20-year-olds do from other schools. Plus, they run the options, and they're usually an underdog. So when you're an underdog, you know, it keeps the games close. Navy's actually a slight favorite over against Virginia. The difference here, the Army's almost a full touchdown dog, 6.5 against San Diego State. But the Aztecs do run the ball extremely well. Army has struggled to stop the run this year. And the Aztecs play Air Force basically every season, so they're used to the option. They played them way back in September. They beat them 28-24 and pick them on the road. And from a rush defense perspective, they were respectable. They held them to 3.7 yards per carry. So I think this is not a great matchup for Army, especially if they're not fully focused.
I think the total is just a little low here too, Steve.
Yeah, if you look at the defense's numbers, it actually favors the over a bit, but it's always hard to pull the trigger with two teams that run the ball basically every play.
I know. Okay, App State and Toledo, Dollar General Bowl. All right, so just for the record, the Birmingham Bowl speaks for itself where that is. San Diego State and Army, the Armed Forces Bowl, Lockheed Martin. It's in Fort Worth, the home of TCU. The Dollar General Bowl, Mobile, Alabama. App State and Toledo. This is a rematch from a bowl game from last year, Steve.
Yep. They played the Camellia Bowl, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's probably a nicer setup. Isn't that like San Francisco or something?
Yeah, they had a better trip last year. You're right.
So you're playing the same opponent in Mobile. But you got to wonder which team's less happy.
I don't know. I think App State's always happy just to be in a bowl game. And I think Toledo's probably happy that they're playing App State because they lost to them last year.
Yeah, I did the Charlotte segment just a few minutes ago, and they asked me about Appalachian State a lot because there's a lot of listeners there in North Carolina that are alums, so we talked about this game, and that's exactly what I said. I said, on the surface, you know, Toledo has a revenge motive, but my gut is telling me they might be a little disappointed to be in this game. They just won the MAC title game easily, and they're coming off a big MAC championship, and now they're playing the same team they played last year in kind of a, I don't know, I mean, it's the primetime game Saturday night, but it's still, like you said, Mobile, Alabama on December 23rd. And I think other than that revenge mode, if you can make a case that Toledo might be a little flat here. But they did lose to them 31-28 last year, so they might show up for that reason.
You know what I think happens? I think it'll be a game like last year. I think it'll be a close game, but this time Toledo wins. I'm kind of leaning with App State plus the points here, but I think it'll be a close game.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, these seven-point dogs, there have been a lot of them we've been talking about in these minor bowl games. I think you can make an argument that App State is a live dog at plus seven. I mean, they're obviously capable of winning this game. It wouldn't surprise anybody.
You're right, though. Toledo deserves better than this. You know what would have been a better game? Toledo versus Florida Atlantic instead of Akron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's see you play good teams, play something, you know, mix it up. You know, because I agree. You know, Toledo's a good football team. They're an 11-win team. They own wins against, you know, big-time programs every year. They nail down a win. They deserve better than this, than playing in Mobile, Alabama against App State. You know, they just do.
And this should be a high-scoring game. I mean, the total probably at 61 is a little low when you look at the numbers because Toledo explosive, 39 points a game, 7 yards a play, 500 yards a game. But their defense, they played a really weak schedule of offensive opponents. They gave up 5.6, but their opponents averaged 5.3. So I think Toledo could be scored on by Appalachian State, who's pretty balanced offensively.
All right. Let's talk about Christmas Eve, Steve. And Merry Christmas to you and yours, Ashley. And I always appreciate your time joining us all the time. So I hope you enjoy your holiday this weekend, even though I know you'll be working.
That's right. No, I appreciate it, though.
Houston and Fresno State, Christmas Eve. I'll be watching this football game. You know, interesting game, and I was sort of kicking the tires on Fresno earlier in the year because they were a nice story. Yeah, you know what? UAB were a nice story, too, this year. Doesn't mean they're going to win their bowl game. And talk about the level of competition, the talent level on the football field. Basically, Steve, I think if the Houston Cougars care, they win this game. Like, if they show up and they bring, you know, and somebody, it was Joe Lisi, brought up a great point to me last night. He said, you know, last year, Major Applewhite's first year with Houston, he lost the bowl game, and they were flat. I could see him like, all right, I want a bowl win now. Like, all right, we lost my first year last year. And that's another trend. First-year bowl coaches often lose bowls, too. Interim coaches and first-year coaches always lose bowl games. So, I could see Houston actually showing up here. I don't think Houston to be overwhelmed by going to Hawaii. Houston's a world-class city with hot chicks, and, like, it's not like they're going to be all freaked out. Fresno State do play in Hawaii every 2 years anyways. You know, Fresno are a decent team, but I think Houston are better, even though this isn't Houston's best team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it's interesting because Fresno State played there 6 weeks ago. They played at Hawaii on November 11th, and they won that game by 10 as a 9.5-point favorite. So they were just out there a month and a half ago. So I think that's an interesting scheduling dynamic.
Yeah,
to bring
so
up.
It's sort of, yeah, you're going to a bowl game, and I know Fresno will be happy, but it's, you know, you're going to a city that you just play in all the time. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different.
It's a pretty low total. It's around 49, one of the lower totals we're going to see for any bowl game, but for good reason. Fresno gave up 17 points a game this year. Houston gave up only 23 points a game. So I think both defenses hold the edge, but once again, so tough to play the under 49 in a minor bowl game because historically that's not a really safe play.
Especially in Hawaii. And it's crazy. You know, Fresno State guys, 10 unders on the year, only 3 overs. Houston Cougars, 9 unders, 2 overs only on the year.
Yeah, we know where that's heading.
Yeah, exactly. To the over.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, I mean it's hard to make a case statistically, but yeah, I think for those reasons you just mentioned, there's probably some line value now.
All right, let's talk some NFL football. Baltimore Ravens and the Indianapolis Colts. This is an ugly one. This is an ugly one right here. Colts getting 13.5 against the Ravens. To me, it would be the Ravens are passed, but I don't really want to lay 13.5 with the Ravens here. But the Colts have run out of gas. They've hit the wall right now.
Yeah, as I say, it's time for me to get on my soapbox here, but I guess instead, in the festive spirit, I'll say I'm going to air my grievances. I saw the NFL Network yesterday, and they're promoing this game because it's on NFL Network. You know, it's a 4:30 Eastern Saturday afternoon game. They have all the commercials, all the pregame lineup and everything. And the first thing I think to myself yesterday is, do they honestly think anybody in this world would be watching that game if they weren't betting on it or maybe had a fantasy interest in it? I mean, come on. It's just the hypocrisy, and we've talked about that before. But, yeah, biggest favorite of the week, Baltimore about a 13.5-point favorite.
I'll be watching the San Diego State game. That's going to be on at the same time as this game. I'll be watching the San Diego State game.
Yeah, and there again, if people don't have a bowl pool or a bet on the game, they're watching any of these bowl games as well Saturday afternoon. It's going to be 71 degrees in Virginia tomorrow, by the way, so I think it's even less likely people would be inside.
But, it's snowing here, and you're assuming everyone has a social life and a life here, Steve. Settle down. We're going to be watching this stuff, all of it.
There's apparently a big shopping day tomorrow. It's called Something Saturday. I just heard it the other, like, an hour ago. I didn't know that even existed. And
yeah,
then last Friday was Free Shipping Friday, which I'd never heard of
every
before.
Every day is someday. Like you said, tomorrow is, hey, guys, it's your last chance to get some gifts because you're losers. You didn't get them yet. You know, it's funny. I got to go to a mall myself to get some stuff for myself. And I have to go, like, soon because they're going to be closed next week. I'm going to be busy next week, so I actually have to go into the rush, even though I'm not going in Christmas shopping.
Right.
But I actually think, Steve, with all the online stuff, I think Amazon's killed everything. I don't even think there's big lineups in stores, even on the day before Christmas anymore.
I had to mail a letter this past Monday, just a regular business letter. It wasn't, you know, anything important. And I made the mistake at 1:30 in the afternoon Monday to go by the post office. And my goodness, just to go drop the letter off outside the line of traffic, people backing in and out. And that's when I realized, yeah, the holiday season's not when you want to be out there doing errands.
No, I know it. I got a few to do, exactly. All right, so, ugly game here, Steve. It would be the Ravens or pass, though.
Yeah, I mean, my point was, like, you know, everyone thinks teams quit in the NFL, and you can make a case the Colts didn't show up last week against the Broncos on Thursday night, but you never know. I mean, the Giants had their best offensive game of the season last week against Philly all of a sudden, so it's a tough call. The line's inflated, but the Colts are a tough team to back right now.
You know, you're right, too. There is no meaningless game because the guys on the field want to win. For themselves. Like, they don't want to get beat on TV. They're trying to earn money for next year, get a contract, etc. You know, I told the story all week. Peyton Barber, running back on Tampa. I don't know if you know this, Dave, but he didn't want to leave Auburn. And they told him, listen, you're not going to get drafted. Or if you get drafted, you're going to get drafted real late. But you will be in the NFL. And he wanted to stay at Auburn, but his mother was homeless. So he signed with Tampa Bay for $480,000. And he bought his mother a house. And, like, so every time he runs the ball, like, Gruden told the story. And you saw him, like, he wouldn't go down the other night against the Falcons. Is it meaningless to him? It might be meaningless to some jackass on the radio. Oh, it's a meaningless game to Tampa. It's not meaningless to the players on Tampa. You know what I mean?
Plus, yeah, you go out there, you're going to get hurt if you're not focused.
It's like
a UFC fight. You can't go out there and half-ass a fight. You know, it's going to be dangerous for you physically.
And athletes play for themselves. You got to remember that.
We
know this in today's day and age. They're playing for themselves. So Vikings, I think the Packers, though, are a team. I think the Packers, they went on that run, Steve. Oh, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers back. And, you know, Hundley did his job, man. And it came back, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't 100%. Carolina's playing good football right now. And now, I think they did the right thing in taking Aaron Rodgers out. I think the Raiders should do the same thing with Carr. Now you get the Vikings going in here, but I think it's an overreaction with 9 points here. And I think the Packers can sort of play loosely and have some fun. No one's getting fired. Hey, you know, we battled. You know, we got some work to do defensively, but Aaron Rodgers got hurt. You know, we showed a little character. Hundley showed some character. I think the Packers play for Hundley. It's national television on a Saturday night, Christmas weekend, against a division rival. Packer fans aren't booing anybody or angry. It's going to be sold out, Steve. They're going to back their team. It's a community-owned team. I think they give the Vikings all they can handle in this game.
This is an 18-point line adjustment from 2 months ago. 18 points.
That's crazy.
Is that insane? Green Bay was a 3-point road favorite on October 15th. Now they're a 9-point home dog. So they would have been a 9-point home favorite 2 months ago. They were 3 on the road. It would have been 9 at home. Now it's plus 9. So that's 18 points. Now, granted, they lost 23-10. They shouldn't have been a road favorite. Minnesota's the better team. But that just shows you what we're dealing with here in just a 2-month span. And that's why, like you said, teams don't quit, and you get line value with that mindset. If there's ever a team I'd be worried about, it's Green Bay, because obviously when they bench their star quarterback and they're technically not eliminated from the playoffs yet at 7-7, that's probably not a good sign that they're really trying to win anymore. But, the line is definitely overinflated.
All right, the Browns, they're going to be trying to win. They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers next week in Pittsburgh, so this is it for them. You know, they don't want to be in the history books for losing and going 0-16. They're the first team since Tampa Bay to go 0-14 in back-to-back years. Tampa Bay were an expansion team. And I think they take the field against a team that they match up well with talent-wise. I don't think you can justify the Bears being 6.5-point favorites. You know, the Browns have found ways not to cover point spreads, and that's why they're 3-11 against the spread. I've only bet on the Cleveland Browns once all year. I took them plus 10 against the Detroit Lions. They lost by 14 in a game that they were leading by 7 most of the game. So they are a frustrating entity to bet on. No one's denying that. But I like the Browns a lot here. I think they're going to win the game outright.
You know, turnovers decide so many NFL games. There's no question the Browns are not a good team. They don't have a good quarterback. They don't have a lot of weapons. But still, turnovers are somewhat random at the professional level. And I think the Browns are a perfect example. Their turnover margin the last 3 games is 8-0. They have not forced a turnover in any of their past 4 games. Now, come on. I mean, they might not be a great defensive team, but a lot of that is random. They have not forced a turnover for 4 straight games. That's going to even out at some point, and it's either this week or next. They're not going to probably win at Pittsburgh. Maybe they cover as a big dog, especially if Pittsburgh is still playing for home field, which they probably will be, because if New England drops a game and Pittsburgh wins out, I think Pittsburgh would still get it because they'd be a game ahead then. So this is the winnable game for Cleveland. The winnable game was really 2 weeks ago when they had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Packers. They lost in overtime. So it's understandable they came out and lost by 17 to Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to back them, this is probably the week to do so.
All right, we got the Falcons and the Saints, Steve, in closing here. Falcons getting 6 points against the Saints team. It's been on quite a point spread slide as of late. So they're laying 6, and the Falcons have beaten these guys 3 straight times.
Yeah, and as you know, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, for decades now. You know, this has always been a tight series. It's always been like a 3-point series one way or the other. And
yep,
for decades, Mark Lawrence used to always talk about it, that, you know, the road team was an automatic play against the points spread. I think the road team had covered at one point like 10 straight games a few years ago. And it made a lot of sense because they were division rivals. They both played in domes, very similar teams. So this line looks a little inflated to me. I think part of it is because Atlanta struggled on Monday night, but that was a bad spot for them. I actually liked the Bucs in that game. They were coming off the back-to-back big home games against the Saints and the Packers, and then had the road game against Tampa, and then the Saints on deck again. So the Vikings, and I think it was the Vikings they played before the Saints. So it was a bad spot. I think Atlanta shows up, and this is probably a tight game one way or the other.
Steve Merrill. Merry Christmas, Steve. Check out Steve over at covers.com on the experts page, on the picks page, as well as prosportsinfo.com. Once again, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. We'll catch up with you next week, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
There's Steve Merrill with us. Actually, Steve will be with us on Christmas Day, a special Christmas Day edition of Game Time Decisions. No rest for the wicked. Game Time Decisions continues. Ricky Sanders joins us next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's talk some NFL DFS with one of the best in the business. This guy's just crushing it. It's good news, bad news, man. Ricky Sanders making big money, but now the family and relatives, everyone's going to expect some pretty nice presents on Monday for Christmas. They're going to be like, yeah, we know what you won. We know what you won. Ricky Sanders, Vice President of Operations at RotoCurve, steps up and in. Coming off a massive night in NBA DFS last week. Congratulations, Ricky. Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us on the program. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I've already had some relatives send me over their travel agents asking where we're going.
Yeah, that's great. I know. Suddenly, Aunt Jane's kind of a little down. She got laid off. Next thing you know, yeah, can you just cover the flight? You know, I used to cover baseball. Marquise Grissom told me, more money, more problems. He's like, He's like, I got 42 relatives, man, and they all got dry cleaners and this sob story and that story. And, like, he's like, it got to the point where he had a court. Like, once a year he would go and he would sit at a table and everyone in his family would come up and say, all right, listen, I need this for this. I need that for that. Thing is, these athletes give all the money away to the family. And then when the athletes are retired, they don't have any money. The family's not giving them any money back after. It's the way that works. So let's jump in here and talk some NFL DFS. Instead of me running my mouth, you're the smart guy. So I'm just going to put the ball in your court here first. Who do you like this week? And you're looking at a Washington Redskin running back. Let's start off there.
Yeah, I kind of like Capri Bibbs as a way to differentiate, to be honest. I mean, there's now multiple options at cheap backs with it looking like Kerwin Williams is going to sit. So I think a lot of people will be on that, like, Elijah Penny, DJ Foster bandwagon. But I like Bibbs. I mean, Samaje Perine, he's all but been ruled out. I mean, they're not in the playoff race anymore. So the remaining backs on this roster are both A, cheap in DFS. But B, you look, Capri Bibbs, who's at least made other NFL rosters, and LaShawn Daniels Jr., I hope I'm not mispronouncing that. But looking at Bibbs, I mean, the skill set last week, you can kind of see already how it translates to DFS. He caught all four of his targets for 47 yards and a touchdown, plus he rushed twice for 6 yards. So to me, he's looking like a pass-catching back, and we know that, like, Danny Woodhead has had some monster years without rushing that much. I mean, I think he finished RB3 one week, and we're not even looking for, you know, that sort of production at 3,500. He's facing a Broncos team 21st in DVOA against opposing backs, so I kind of like going that route, getting all those receptions as a floor, and then just, you know, seeing what we can get besides that. They almost have no other choice, so they got to go with Capri Bibbs.
You know, when it comes to the NFL, as a betting man, I like to soak up as much information as I possibly can. And I was reading an interview with Kirk Cousins, and he said, yeah, it's kind of tough at this time of the year, you know, when you're not in it. But he said playing with guys like Capri Bibbs who are trying to make a name for themselves, make it fun to play with. And he was talking about how, you know, this kid's put a lot of work in, and now he's going to get an opportunity. And you know, as you mentioned, you know, he threw him the ball a lot out of the backfield right out of the gate. Now he's going to have another full crack here at it. I'm expecting 6-7 catches out of the backfield. Hopefully he gets like 10 carries. We're not asking for that much at the price that he's listed at across all mediums for the most part. You know, and I just like the fact, you know, there are many other bodies, and the coaching staff like him. That's a big thing. They like him, so they want to get him on the field, so you know he's going to get some touches.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and these wide receivers haven't exactly been touchdown scoring machines, or like Vernon Davis hasn't been, you know, last year's version of him. So when they get down close, I mean, I think they'd like to go the easy route first and maybe give a back a choice or a chance for a reception or even a rush before they even have to look for, you know, Doxson, who's been a bit unreliable, Vernon Davis, that kind of thing.
All right. Talk to me about Kendall Wright.
Yeah. So, I just found out that John Fox, not that this has anything to do with it, but right before I came out, a tweet came out that John Fox had a pet monkey named Gidget when he was a kid, which is what the Bears reporters are doing right now. But apparently they're still playing football. And Kendall Wright is still a guy who's catching passes. And I think you got to take serious consideration of him this week because, I mean, if Adam Shaheen is out, their other tight ends are really nothing to write home about. And this Browns team can be beat over the middle. I mean, they've been bad against tight ends specifically, but what they have in the secondary is Jason McCourty, and he is going to shadow number one receivers. I don't think he's going to waste his time with Kendall Wright. He's going to stay on the outside, which means Kendall Wright, who's been targeted 11 and 13 times respectively over the last two games,
Wow. He's
going to have a chance to roam free. And Dal Loggins, I mean, loves Kendall Wright. It's been shocking how little they used him for a stretch. But if you remember, his 1,000-plus yard season was under the offensive coordination of Dal Loggins. So now that Kendall Wright seems to be a big part of this offense again, they don't really have any other options. I think he's going to catch a bunch of passes, and he has a really high floor this week.
I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be in this game and maybe win this game. I think this is their spot. What do you think of Josh Gordon this week? He's going to be matched up against Kyle Fuller.
Yeah, so the Bears without Leonard Floyd have really struggled to get pressure on a quarterback, which is bad news against Kaiser. Like, if you can pressure him, good things will happen. But no one on the Bears team has graded inside the top 35 in terms of Pro Football Focus's pass rusher productivity metric since week 10. So really, they have a bunch of below average pass rushers, which means Kaiser will have time, which means Gordon can beat these mediocre corners who, you know, the Bears rank 24th in DVOA versus cornerbacks. I think that Vegas line is kind of mysteriously low, and the Browns do have a good chance to exceed it. And I think the way to do it is to rely heavily on Josh Gordon. So I really like that call. I mean, if you can't get pressure on Kaiser and he has time, that's when he can beat you. And he now has this, you know, stud receiver. So it should be good news for them.
I think the Chargers they're going to be in tough going up there to the Meadowlands on Sunday. But I also think there will be some points put up on the board. I think it'll be a typical San Diego game. And I think Petty will have some success. I think Rivers will have some success. But you're taking a look at Keenan Allen in this game. Tell us about why you like Keenan Allen.
Yeah, well, this is just, I mean, they lost Austin Eckler in the backfield. They've now lost Hunter Henry. So some guys that they were relying reasonably heavy on are now out. And this offense is going to become concentrated. And I almost think we can get a concentration level similar to, like, the Steelers now. I mean, Keenan Allen, who, by the way, we found out was human last week, he finally did not top 100 yards. He's going to be the main focus of this defense. I mean, he's matched up against Buster Skrine, who, even in his best season this year, is still grading outside the top 60 at the cornerback position. If you look at his historical data, this has been by far his best year. So I think he's going to tail off, and he has been, to be quite honest, as of late. So Keenan Allen matched up on him with Phillip Rivers looking his way a lot, or Antonio Gates is the only other one who's lost a step. I mean, with more volume headed Keenan Allen's way than he's even already been seeing against this Jets team that ranks dead last against number one receivers, specifically in DVOA, it's a great spot for him. Keenan Allen also lines up out of the slot a lot. And we saw last week Cody Latimer beat this defense. So a star receiver like Allen coming out of the slot, I really think is going to give this defense tons of fits, and they have to win. So I think it's a huge volume game. I think he's the number one receiver quite easily this week.
Ricky Sanders, Roto Curve. Ricky, it's always a pleasure, man, talking fantasy sports with you. Keep up the great work. We encourage people to follow Ricky on Twitter if you want to win. And check him out. He's absolutely killing it on the NBA hardwood this year. Merry Christmas to you and yours, Ricky. Thanks for the time, man.
Yep, thanks for having me.
There's Ricky Sanders with us. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back with my DraftKings lineup for this week. And I like it. I think it's a pretty strong lineup, but obviously we're going to need some luck and some stuff to fall into place. You know, it's good luck, bad luck, man. And we haven't always had great luck this year, but I'm feeling it, baby. The power of positivity. Our lineup coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
All right, let's get to our National Football League DraftKings lineup of the week. We skipped the Saturday card, so these are the players that were available for Sunday's contest. Let's start off with our quarterback. We're going to go with Cam Newton. $6,800 for Cam Newton. The dude's in a zone right now, man. He hung 31 DK points up on the Packers last week. The Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense is worn out, man. You know what? They give up over 30 points a game on the road as well, but their secondary is worn out. Their linebackers are worn out. Tampa just played on Monday Night Football against the Atlanta Falcons, so it's a short week. Now on the road. You know, the last six games, Cam Newton's thrown 11 touchdown passes. He runs for 338 yards and two touchdowns. No reason that Cam Newton doesn't run for like another, you know, 40, 50 yards. That's worth a touchdown pass right there, and he probably throws for a couple as well. Should be a higher scoring football game. I like Cam Newton a lot this week for fantasy purposes. Deion Lewis. I hate picking on my Buffalo Bills, man. But the Buffalo Bills are hard to throw the football on. They have a very good secondary. And for fantasy purposes, they've shut down a lot of quarterbacks. And in fact, this is pretty crazy, man. The Bills have only given up one or more touchdown pass in a football game to a quarterback twice all year this year. But, man, they're softer than the Pillsbury Doughboy's tummy is up the gut when it comes to running the football. You know, Burkhead's going to be out. I think we're going to get a heavy dose of Deion Lewis here. Belichick's a genius at attacking the other team's weakness. He knows that the Bills can get pressure on Brady, and he knows that their secondary is pretty good. I think we're going to see a heavier dose of a ground attack. I know Gillis Lee is going to be active, but I think Deion Lewis is a good play this week. And, you know, the Bills, actually, listen to this. They've given up 14 touchdowns on the ground in their last seven games. He had 92 yards on 15 carries a couple of weeks ago against the Bills, did Deion Lewis. Our other running back here, we're going to roll the dice here with Capri Bibbs on the Washington Redskins. The Redskins' depth is done. He's basically all the last man standing right now. He got a couple of touches last week, but he caught four footballs. They like him. He's going to be on the field. He's going to get opportunities. We don't need to get a lot of production from him. He got that touchdown last week, too. We don't need a ton of production from him to make it worth it at $3,500. I think he's a nice value pick so we can have some money to spend and sprinkle on some wide receivers, including Josh Gordon. $6,300. Listen, he hasn't put up massive numbers, but he's being targeted as much as anybody in the NFL is right now. In his three games back, he's been targeted 27 times, scored a touchdown against the Packers. He's going to get his chances to touch the football here. Kyle Fuller, former Virginia Tech Hokie defensive back, he's going to be matched up on Gordon, and I think it's a real tough matchup for him. If Kizer gets time, he can throw the ball down the field. I think Cleveland to come to play. I think Cleveland win this game, and I think Josh Gordon's going to get in the end zone and help them win this football game. All right, Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas kind of frustrated me. I took him in two high-cash leagues, and earlier in the year, he was catching, like you guys know, he was catching like five, six balls a game, but there was no touchdowns. There was nothing really a fantasy impact, and it was pretty frustrating. And there were a couple of reasons for it. Number one, you got Kamara and Ingram running like that, like crazy, man, running the hell out of the football. Number two, Thomas only in his second year in the NFL. Other teams started to figure him out a little bit, and he'd never been a number one wide receiver. You had Brandon Cooks on the team. So he's getting jammed to the line. He's getting double teamed, and he had a hard time adjusting to it. Well, he's adjusted to it, all right? He's fought through it, and he's starting to look like he did last year again. three straight games. He's got touchdown catches. Man, he absolutely lit him up, man. Against the Falcons a couple of weeks ago, he had the best game of the year that he had. 30 DraftKings points, 10 catches, a touchdown. I think he gets into the end zone again. I think it's going to be a higher scoring game with the Saints and the Falcons this week. I like Michael Thomas. This next player, I'm not really even a fan of. I've always thought that Mike Evans has been overrated, to be honest with you. Even go back to his Texas A&M days. But Jameis Winston's back. They're going to be playing from behind. Carolina will be up in this football game. So I could see, you know, they're going to throw a couple of bombs to Evans. He's got to catch one of them like he did the other night. He had five catches in the first meeting against Carolina. I'm expecting like seven and a touchdown here. You know, wide receivers had some success, okay, against these guys. So I'm going to take Mike Evans here. I think Carolina's going to put up a ton of points because Tampa's defense sucks. So, therefore, Tampa's going to be playing from behind, and I think we can get some points on the board with Evans. All right, he's back. Guess who's back? And I'm not talking about Eminem. Olsen. He's the new Slim Shady. Olsen is back, and I'm all in, baby. Nine catches, 12 targets last week, a touchdown against the Packers. He's clearly healthy right now. He's Cam Newton's favorite target. And this is what makes Carolina a difficult team to play against right now. They have so many different weapons, and you don't really know where they're going to go right now. But I don't think he's going to have nine catches on 12 targets this week, but wouldn't surprise me if he had another touchdown and he caught another seven or eight balls. I like Greg Olsen. I'm not afraid. Maybe I'm a stupid idiot for doing this, but I don't mind putting two tight ends in my lineup. You know, Engram has been more productive than most wide receivers in the NFL have been over the last couple of weeks, man. The kid is a target machine. Eight catches on 13 targets last week versus the Eagles. No reason to believe that he doesn't get a ton of targets this week as well. You know, and Eli Manning, man, the Giants can't run the ball. So they basically just throw the damn ball on every play. There's no reason not to believe that he's not going to get a ton of looks. I know people, I want to pick on Arizona secondary. Don't worry about it. Take Evan Engram and you won't regret it. And finally, in closing, I might regret this. I didn't like any of the defenses in this price range, so give me the Cleveland Browns. I sincerely believe the Cleveland Browns are going to make a couple of big plays on defense and they're going to win this football game. And Gordon's going to play well. Kaiser's going to play well. And they're going to get a sack or two and a fumble, maybe a pick six. Listen, I'm not in love with this play, but I prefer them than the other teams in this price range. I like the lineup this week, guys. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
What up, everybody? Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all that other stuff in between. Let's get down to business with our plays of the day. You know, hard to believe there's no bowl games on tap this evening. It's ridiculously stupid, man. But nevertheless, all we can do is bet the games that they put on the board. Let's start off in the National Basketball Association. This is pretty much as public as I could possibly get. Let's Moneyline Parlay, okay? Moneyline Parlay. The Detroit Pistons, Oklahoma City Thunder, Houston Rockets, and the Golden State Warriors. It's like minus 104, plus 100, depending on where you're going to bet it. But each one of these teams should win, and we don't have to worry about the point spread. They basically don't lose at home, these teams. Lakers and Warriors, let's go over 216 points. College basketball, let's take a chance with the Bonnies, man, the Brian Blessing special. St. Bonaventure, +6.5 at the Cuse in the Dome. Bonnies and the Cuse over $135.5. UNLV are now 10-2 to the over on the season. Let's make it 11-2. Let's go over 158 UNLV at Northern Colorado. On the board, Miami and Hawaii, late night special for the degenerate gamblers tonight, over 133. And a little NHL action, the Blue Blind Rouge, the Montreal Canadiens, took care of business in Vancouver a couple of nights ago. They win again tonight as underdogs, plus 115 in Calgary. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.